Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers at the home studio back in Madison, Wisconsin. We are live here on this Monday, August 21st, 2023, from our studios at WRCE in the RC, better known as Richland Center, here in the beautiful Driftless region of Southwest Wisconsin. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a nice weekend. I went home to Manitowoc because it was my youngest sister Elena's 21st birthday.
Oh, how was that?
It was fun. We stayed home and we watched two movies. We watched The Disaster Artist, which is a movie about the making of one of my favorite movies ever, The Room, which is one of the worst movies ever. And it really is an interesting story of how it got made because it's just bizarre. And then we also watched Coraline, another one of my favorite movies ever, a stop motion animation, that I also really recommend. And then she had about a third of a like lemonade seltzer and I made her a Captain Morgan and Coke that had about an eighth of a shot of Captain in it or less because she's never tried alcohol before and she is very small and wanted to be really careful.
That's good. Good advice. We turned 21 and I have a small stature to be careful. One of our listeners, Mr. Zommer, is saying, don't forget to go live on Facebook. One of us. Oh, we are? All right. So they said we weren't. Apparently, it's on the other end of the spectrum, the problem. So we had a nice weekend here in the RC. I was up relieving my wonderful and talented sister who has been doing nurse duty as mom recuperates from that knee replacement surgery from last week and a half or so. So Heather went back to Eau Claire for a couple of days. She is a public educator getting ready to start up the school year. So Todd stepped in, and I'm not sure. I don't believe I'm quite as good a nurse to mom as Heather is, but we're trying. But Miss Linda is recovering nicely. And I took her to physical therapy here today, the great folks at the Richland Hospital here, Richland Center. So a shout out to the physical therapy department, doing a great job working with them. So going to be here another day or so. And then I'm going to head on down to Milwaukee to the Republican debate down there. Lots of going on. We'll talk a little bit more about that later today in the show. Kristen Bry, the host of As Goes Wisconsin, is going to be co-hosting the evening with me from 6 until 8 p.m. Our special Wisconsin Decides 2024, the road to the Republican nomination starts here. Well, not here in Richland Center, but in Milwaukee at the Fiserv Forum. So talking more about that event later on in the show today. And then, I'll probably be back here in the RC later on in the week. So from one side of the state to the other. And that's what civic media is, right? Crisscrossing the state. And we're excited to always be in the communities in which we have radio stations, in which we have a fine one right here in WRCE, AM 1450 and FM 107.7. And also the sister station, WRCO, 100.9 on the FM dial. And coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to our friend and our colleague here, the station manager of WRCO, WRCE, Phil Nee. He is also the host of Those Were the Days each and every Saturday night from 6 until midnight. A great oldies call-in program. Phil talking a little bit more about that. And also some exciting things happening here in Richland Center. We have an outdoor theater here, Mr. Zommers. Do you have those back in Manitowoc?
No, we do not. The closest one I've seen is in Chilton. You mean like a drive-in?
Yeah, drive-in. Yeah, a drive-in outdoor theater.
Yeah, I've been to one in Chilton, which I think is still open. I've been there like two times, maybe. All right. It's far enough from Manitowoc that it's not something we really did when I was younger.
Yeah, it's. I'm fortunate enough. Richland Center is one of the few in the state of Wisconsin in the Midwest that still has a very active and wonderful outdoor drive-in theater. And Phil's going to be coming in a very special event, a live broadcast, I believe, of Those Were the Days from the Outdoor Theater coming up for community good as well. So Phil's going to be in and talking with that. And then a little bit later on in the show, coming up after 1:30, going to be asking you to call in. I want your answers on this one. Should landlords in the state of Wisconsin be able to deny a tenant air conditioning? We are under a heat advisory, particularly in the western and southwest. I know, particularly the western and southwestern part of the state, starting tomorrow through Thursday. The hottest temperatures of the year could be over 100 degrees, and yet there are landlords, particularly in the city of Madison, that are telling their tenants they cannot install a window air conditioner. And guess what? The Wisconsin state law, as rewritten by Republicans about 11 years ago, lets them do it. Is it time to undo the Republican dastardly deeds in landlord-tenant laws? But, we'll take your calls after the 1:30 hour.
But then it would cost money for them to fix up the places and update their electronics to the 21st century.
Well, I think it's just greediness too, right? You're right. I mean, some of these buildings need to be rewired, but the other part of it is the landlords just don't want to pay the extra fee during conditions like this to actually have livable conditions in their building. And of course, their defense is, well, you should have read the contract or you should have read the lease before you signed it. Well, yeah, we'll talk about why that's a huge problem, particularly in a place like Madison, all after the 1:30 hour. But stay tuned next. We have Phil Mee, host of Those Were the Days, station manager on WRCE, WRCO, right here in the RC. We are live from Richland Center. This is the Thought All Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Town Hall Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location, a little doors, Mr. Phil Mee, the station manager here at WRCO, WRCE in Richland Center, host of Those Were the Days, every Saturday night from 6 until midnight, the best oldies show on the radio across America. You can hear it by downloading the Civic Media app and simply clicking on WRCO. Mr. Phil D, how are you?
I am great. Good to have you along. Yeah, that's my walk-up song. I'm thinking if I was back playing ball, I could at least hit it by the pitcher. You know, I'd be so fired up when I came to bat with that.
Now, this is interesting because you cover a lot. You cover high school baseball. Of course, we played it a couple, three times. That great call you and Henry Bray had at the Ithaca game.
Right.
People are still talking about it. The Ithaca Bulldogs, your alma mater, coming back in the final inning, 8 or unanswered runs to win the state championship. You have a beautiful call on that. You also call home talent ball.
Yep.
My question is, like Bob Uecker, do you ever go out and take a little batting practice or throw a few balls for the guys when you're out there?
I used to once in a while, but now I know that I'd probably pull something severely and it would jeopardize the broadcast, you know, because I'd be sitting there, you know, home talent's 9 innings long, you know, 3-hour broadcast. I'd be sitting there with a pain in the rear, you know, and that'd be kind of hard probably. So I stay
ice
away
pack
from it.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly.
A little icy hot, whatever that cream is.
Red hot.
Red hot.
Yeah, red hot. Mm-hmm.
Right. But so you don't help off the guy. You don't warm them up anymore.
Not anymore. Nope, I don't. I did have a high school football game, actually two of them last week, Thursday and Friday. So that season is underway.
That's exciting. Pretty exciting. I mean, always the first thing, I mean, the smell of the grass, that dew, is there's just a certain, there's emotional, but also the senses kick in during this time of the year.
I think they do too. And it did feel a little bit like fall, especially last Thursday night. It's not going to this week, however.
No. It's going to be a hot one.
You like summer.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel sorry. Those guys, I mean, they got to give, you know, breaks. I mean, temperatures like this, even to practice, you got to mm-hmm. stay hydrated.
Oftentimes they do. Now, if it's above a certain temperature and humidity is up there on Friday night, they will have an extra timeout where they just stop for 2 minutes, and both teams go to the sidelines and get a little drink of water.
Really? Yeah. Yes. Well, that's good for them. We had Brady Ewing, a Richland Center native, and of course, he played for the Badgers, won 3 Big Ten championships, and then went on to have a career in the NFL with Atlanta and Jacksonville. He was on Friday, and here he is back in his hometown, here helping coach the running backs for the Richland Center High School Hornets, and I just think that's a great story.
It is. I saw him on the sidelines Friday night when I was covering the game, and I thought, how many teams have an ex-pro, an ex-Badger, right, on the staff? But there he was, you know, and I'm guessing how cool that is for those kids to look up to somebody like that.
That's exactly. I said, well, don't you think it's awfully cool? And, of course, he's so modest. He goes, well, I don't know. So I'll answer it for you. It is. It is cool.
It's hard to say, though. You know, young people, and I'm not bashing young people now, but even, you know, back when I was in school, I'm not sure how much kids get into history. You know what I mean?
Even sports history?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but, you know, sometimes you bring somebody in, yeah, they won a conference championship 20 years ago. That means nothing to them.
I know. But, I mean, I think when I was growing up as a kid, and this won't mean to anybody anything to our statewide listeners, but people, well, maybe in Southwest Wisconsin, we had somebody here from Richland Center, Vern Gyshert, who went on to play in the major leagues and professional baseball. And, boy, when I was growing up, you'd mention him if he was around, and he, it was still cachet and a little bit of, wow, here's somebody from a small town who made it.
Yeah, absolutely. Pitched for the California Angels, I think like 10 appearances, and then was traded to the Reds the next year and wound up retiring a couple of years later. You know, there's not a big a shelf span for pitchers in the major leagues, but he certainly made it, and he's a legend around these parts. Still lives in Richland Center, yes.
Yeah, great guy. I just think it doesn't necessarily have to be professional, but if you went away and played even college at the D3 level, I think Merrill Brunson here from Richland Center played, won national championships at UW-Platteville. I think those are great role models, and it doesn't have to be in sports. It could be other things as well. But if you're from a small town like you and I are, and you kind of go out and make it, to come back and give something back to those kids, that's really cool.
It absolutely is. And those two guys, and Vern included, I'm sure. I wasn't around when he was in high school, but I covered Brady and I covered Merrill's games when they were in high school. And they have something in common. People will say, well, yeah, they were nationally gifted. And they are. But nobody worked harder than those two guys all the way through. And, that, you know, there's a little bit of something to be said for that, too.
Maybe a little bit of a farm work ethic.
There. Yeah, there you go.
Rural work ethic.
Blue collar.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
You've been covering sports for, what, 30, how many
37?
Years? 37 years now. Does it still get you a little bit excited when that time of the year comes around? I mean, you know, I know those spring sports and winter sports, but to me it's those fall sports that kind of gets the blood flowing.
Absolutely, it does. You know, I never get tired of that. Yeah. Sometimes, as you know, maybe the preparation gets a little bit, you know, because you're doing a game each night, certainly during the winter when you're doing basketball. But when you sit down and the tip-off is there or the kickoff is there or whatever sport you're covering, I get going again. That's the fun time right there, those 2 hours.
It is great fun. Looking at you cover all sports across Southwest Wisconsin, is there any particular team or program in as far as football that you think really to watch this fall if you're in Southwest Wisconsin?
Locally, I think most of our teams are kind of young. There were a few upsets. Prairie du Chien had a nice win Friday night against Aquinas of La Crosse. So, you know, Prairie du Chien looks pretty tough. The two teams that I covered, the local teams lost, but Westby and Cashton from up, you know, toward La Crosse, the Cooley region, they both have really good teams. You know, senior dominated, and those are usually the teams that do well.
During the course of a normal season, not the playoffs, what's kind of the furthest you travel in terms of time or miles to a game usually?
Well, you know, in the conference, it would be like a Prairie du Chien or a Platteville or a Cuba City. But then when you get to playoffs, sometimes you're traveling across the state. You know, normally we have games all the way like to Southeast Wisconsin where we will play down there because they go, especially by level four, they go to turf fields, which are becoming a little bit more common around the area, but we'll go somewhere a neutral site with a turf field.
I asked for our listeners because I kind of knew the answer to that, but our colleague, Chad Holmes, who's out of Bull Falls Radio at Wausau, I saw him on Twitter over the weekend. He was getting ready to get on the bus. And by the way, you know, when I was in school with Vitus Rip and football here at Richland Center, it was a yellow school bus. These kids at Wausau are getting on a coach bus to take their first game Superior.
Wow.
Wausau to Superior. That ain't a short trip.
That's a long trip there, you know. Yeah, they need a coach bus for that.
But, I mean, wow.
Yeah, I've ridden the school bus a few times, but especially during the week, it's not a good idea for a morning announcer. Because after the game, you know, the kids want to stop at a Quick Trip or wherever it is, and Phil's on the bus thinking, I got to be up in about 4 hours here. Kids, hurry up.
Yeah, not a good idea at all. Here's a good idea, though. Tune into Those Were the Days each and every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. What are the, honest to God, it's a great program because you play great music, you give some history, you have great interviews, you have live call-ins. It's just a great show. You have something we plugged it here before the break. Richland Center, Richland County, is one of the few places that still has an outdoor drive-in theater, and you guys have a special thing coming up.
We do. September 2nd, we're going to be there. It's a fundraiser for the Center Cinema Twins to put a new marquee, replace it, and put it back to its 1930s persona again. Wow. But this is a part of the benefit at the outdoor. So my show, Those Were the Days, will be there for the first couple of hours. And then we're showing American Graffiti, the classic movie that is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. Wow. And it launched the career of so many big stars over the years, and it launched many to be a DJ, including me, when I saw when I saw Wolfman Jack there in that little cameo, and he's in the studio and he's like, you want a popsicle? They're melting. Sticky little mothers, aren't they? You know, and he's handing it to Richard Dreyfuss's character, you know. I'm like, at that moment I'm like, wow, that's really cool, because he didn't know it was the Wolfman. He was just, you know, thought it was some guy that worked at the radio station. And so, but anyway, that's part of it. We're going to show that movie, try to raise money, and then we're going to show Dirty Dancing after that. It's a double feature. If anybody across the state are looking for something to do, Richland Center, September 2nd, and it will start at 6. You don't even have to buy a ticket to the movie. You can come in for the pre-show. We're going to be doing giveaways, maybe some hula hoop contests, and then the movie and or movies. It's just going to be a great night that night. Maybe bring your classic car. Maybe park in the back with your significant other.
It's just dark back there.
Just like old times.
But you're going to do the show live from there,
yes,
right?
Yes. The first couple of hours will be there. We don't want to interrupt the movie, but we'll lead into the movie. And
that's super cool.
Yeah, and we don't even have to say, pizza number 34.
Right. I can't remember the last time I was there. It's been a long time.
So Tony and the gang tell me that, you know, and Richland Center supports it well, but the area codes from where people come to the Starlight 14 in Richland Center, lots of area codes way away.
Really?
Chicago.
Wow.
You know, so they draw from a big, wide area.
I know I've heard of people flying into the Lone Rocket. For those that don't know, it's about, 12 miles from Richland Center or so, or 10 miles. The Lone Rock Airport, people fly in there from all over and then actually kind of carpool up and have gone to the outdoor here.
Gone to the outdoor. You can go to the roller skating rink, Galaxy Skate Center. That's another kind of novelty thing that not very many towns have anymore. So a couple of unique things about Richland Center.
They really are. And every town has the good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess. But I think those things that you just mentioned, Phil, it's part of what makes growing up in a small town in southwest Wisconsin a lot of fun.
Absolutely, it does.
And again, a community spirit.
Good place to live, and yeah, absolutely. And we raised $360,000 at our cancer walk.
Talk a little bit about, but for people who don't know, we talked about it before this happened. Again, for people across the state, A Walk with Grace is a nonprofit co-founded by Joanne Krulatz here on the WRCO staff as well, and community of 17,000 people in the county, and each and every year, you folks at WRCO, WRCE help put this on, and tell folks what you have done in this community, what the community has done together.
Well, exactly. It started last October. They had some fundraisers. They sold some online things, all pure donations. And then this year, you know, different brat sales and rummage sales and all kinds of things. They sold a UTV or raffle tickets for a UTV, so they made some money there. Had some other options. They had a live auction. We had a live auction on the radio. Wow. And all total, they added it up this past week, $360,000.
Holy
and
cow.
People have until the end of August to still contribute, so it could go up a little bit more.
And the great thing about it, all that money stays in the community.
It does, absolutely. And I know there's some other good ones. Iowa County Cancer Coalition just wrapped up their event this last Saturday, and Connie Gard, Greg Gard's mother, is the head of that, does a great job. And then Spring Green has For Pete's Sake, which is, it's not only people with cancer, but any misfortune that maybe a family has, they can apply and get some funds. So they do a similar thing. So it's really nice, again, living in a small town and small communities. Neighbors really back their neighbors.
Not to cut you off.
No.
But we have a caller. We have Tom from Jackson who wanted to ask Phil a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Tom. Got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if you could explain the old time radio show that's on Saturday night, 6 till 12, you said. I really love these old time radio shows. Back to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Tom. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Feeling got about 45 seconds.
Sure.
Tell us about Those Were the Days.
We've been doing it since 1986. We play 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. We even creep into the early 90s because 1993 is 30 years ago. That's an oldie, right? And I've interviewed lots and lots of the people that have made the music over the years. We still have some live interviews on, but we have those interviews archived. But we take live requests. We play trivia. We play. We actually ring a magical cowbell and ask one trivia question per hour and just have some fun with it.
If you don't live in Southwest Wisconsin, you can download the Civic Media app on your iPhone or Android device and hit WRCO 6 until midnight. Phil Dean, Those Were the Days, station manager here. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you as always.
Always good to see you. Thanks for asking.
You as well. Yeah. Phil Dean, everybody, stay tuned. Your calls are next. A powerful show.
Echo cancellation.
Okay. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing so. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app. You can download the app to your favorite Android or Apple device. Simply type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, in your search bar. It'll come up. It takes about a minute or less to download. It is free. It is what Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Thank you very much to Phil Nee, our friend and colleague here at in Richland Center with Civic Media. Great guy, great program. I know that some of you are asking again about Those Were the Days, the oldies show that Phil has been hosting for over three decades now, every Saturday night from 6 until midnight. You can find it on the Civic Media app on WRCO. So you can find it there. And also, if you live in Southwest Wisconsin, on WRCO 100.9 FM on the dial. So check it out. Those are the days each and every Saturday night, 6 until midnight. You will not be sorry. You'll probably learn something about music. You'll be entertained. And first and foremost, just hear some really great tunes. And it's a call-in show, usually. You can usually call in and request your favorite tune. Phil will pick up the phone, take your request, and do the best to fill it. So we thanks Phil for making time for us out here in Richland Center today. I want to turn to this issue that I saw last night. And it was one of those things where I thought, well, you know, you kind of think over the weekend, well, what are you going to talk about? What's kind of the big story? And we're going to get to politics a little bit later on in the show today, talking about the Republican GOP debate coming up in Milwaukee on Wednesday. We will be there, by the way, and covering that. So we'll talk more about that next hour or next segment. But right now, this is something that caught my eye yesterday. I was going through the Twitter. I refuse to call it X, by the way. We're just going to call it Twitter. All right. And Jason Joyce, the publisher at the Isthmus in Madison, great publication, by the way, he tweeted this out from Reddit. And for those of you who don't know, Reddit's kind of another social platform where people can list different topics and comment on them. And the topic in Madison, Wisconsin on Reddit over the weekend, particularly yesterday in light of the heat wave going across the state of Wisconsin, no air conditioner was the headline. Says, thank you. This is an edit, by the way. Thank you for everyone and all your tips. I have fans going and it's decent given the heat. Hoping to get more clarification soon. But here is the original Reddit that was posted yesterday in Madison, Wisconsin. Says, hi there. I just moved into a place downtown Madison and was under the pretense that I could have a window air conditioner if the maintenance people put it in. But after talking to them, they said that is a violation of the lease and the building cannot withstand the power needs of AC units. The landlord recommended a swamp cooler, an evaporative cooler. The person says, I read that these work best in the drier areas of the country, not in the Midwest. Does anyone have any experience with these? Are they super energy consuming in comparison to a portable AC unit? Right now I have fans, but worry about the heat coming this week. Thanks for any tips and advice. My question to you is, should landlords in the state of Wisconsin be able to prohibit air conditioning on their properties? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Be glad to take your calls. We'd love to hear from you. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Send us a text and let us know what you think. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Should landlords in the state of Wisconsin be able to prohibit their tenants from having a window air conditioner? I think this is ridiculous, by the way. And Jason Joyce, the publisher, as I said, from the Isthmus in Madison, was all over in sending this out last night. And he makes a couple of great points. First of all, he says, does anyone happen to know the cost of bringing an older apartment, let's say a three flat of two bedroom units, into the modern world, electrically speaking? Said he never lived in a place where he couldn't plug in a window unit. And he said, according to him, he's lived in a few dumps. One person says there's also another post on Reddit about a person who paid their rent with a money order and was told that their money order, quote unquote, bounced. Yeah, right. And Jason says, this was difficult to read. The tenant is clearly in over their head and left to seek advice from strangers on the internet. Quite a system we have here. To which a former Republican colleague, we never worked together, but we're in the Republican Party together, Brian Fraley, he calls it crisis messaging right now. Lots of empathy here from old Fraley. His response to all this was read, period, your, period, lease. That's what Fraley says. It ticks me off because people like him clearly have never been in a situation where, especially in Madison right now and other municipalities, the ratio to apartments available at an affordable rate to which there are is dramatically different. There are a lot more needs of people seeking affordable housing than there are units available. Therefore, it puts the landlord in the driver's seat. And have you ever actually seen some of these leases? They're pages long in 8-point font. And are you really going to sit there and read all that while your landlord says, well, you can read it if you want, but we need to get this signed? Putting that kind of pressure on you? Who reads every single thing of a lease? I rarely have, if I'm being honest. And as a renter, wouldn't you think that one of the basic things you need in life are heat and cooling? I mean, you could plug a fan in, you could plug a toaster oven in. Who would think that it's against the law and that the law in Wisconsin would back up your landlord to say that, nope, you can't have an air conditioner in there? Jason Joyce writes back. He says, the truth in Madison right now is that the vacancy rate is so low that there aren't great alternatives if you're renting a certain point on the price spectrum. And thanks to state laws passed 10 years ago, tenants have very little power. So regular listeners to this show know I am a former Republican, was in the Republican Party for well over 25 years, closer to 30. Left the party back in 2011 over voting issues, voting right issues. But there were subsequent bills, but a couple of the most devastating were passed around 2011, 2012. Maybe 12, 13. In which they restructured state law, this bill, by Republicans. I believe my boss at the time voted for this, so I can't say he didn't. But it allowed, and the argument, of course, is that, well, you know, that the landlords are the ones that have to, you know, fix these places up when you know, people destroy them and move out. The landlord has to have power to evict. The landlord has to have power to protect their property. And yes, there's always going to be some renters that kind of go too far, right? I mean, my both sets of my grandparents had rental properties. As I was a kid growing up, used to help clean them up after people moved out and paint them. So I get it. I've seen it from the landlord's point of view as well. But like most things, Republicans went too far. and they passed legislation that basically null and voids the tenant's right. And this is a great example. You go look at a property, doesn't have air condition, you notice that, you think, oh, I could get a small little window unit and plug that in. You go to do it, in weather like this, there are heat advisories. This is a health issue. And now because of Republican legislation passed 10 years ago, tenants in Madison and other municipalities can no longer plug in air conditioners if their landlords say they can. And I get it. Some of these buildings might be old and the landlord says, well, if I got, you know, 5-6 of these units going on, it's going to blow my fuse. Yes, there are some places that still have fuse boxes. Or it's going to blow my circuit breakers. But isn't it incumbent upon the landlord to have basic wiring that will support a basic air conditioner? Or the landlord has said, well, I put everything in there. You know, the rent includes heat, electricity, and lights, and water. So if I got 5, 6, 7, 8 people, 8 units, and they're all put their AC on, that's going to cost me, the landlord, more money. I don't want it because I pay for all of it. Well, then you should up your rates at the time that you have renewals or that you have new people move in and accommodate that. I just think it's ridiculous that today in the state of Wisconsin, we have a state law that allows landlords to deny a renter, a tenant, not some big fancy thing, but essentially being able to plug in a basic air conditioner. Let's go to the text line, WMDX in Madison. Actually, it's Angie from Monroe. She says, I have an old farmhouse. There's no possible way I could ever have air conditioning. Okay, I get that. But again, if you own the property, that's your choice. If you're going to lease that property, then you should either say right up front, there's no possible way to have air conditioning here, just so you know, or redo the wiring so that you actually have the capabilities to do that, right? I don't understand that in this day and age, in the state of Wisconsin, landlords could do this to people. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you on this. Jeff in Shorewood, listening in on WAUK down in Waukesha, says, quote, I'm less concerned about the air conditioning issue if the rent includes electricity. Maybe throw another $20 or $30 a month in for the AC. I notice my electric bill goes up when I use my little bedroom AC. I'm more concerned with the use of a credit score to deny tenancy writ large. Same with insurance, the jack up rates for low credit scores. Well, that goes to the whole issue, right, of this bill 10, 11 years ago in the legislature that gave the landlord all these additional rights. But to my point earlier, Jeff, if you're rent includes electricity, then I think that landlords should just simply up the monthly bill at the time of renewal or when somebody moves out, you have a new person move in. Also, from Wes in Middleton on WMDX, Wes in Middleton listening in, says it's a wiring issue. An AC unit ideally required a dedicated circuit and often a higher amperage. Some buildings just can't handle it. There's a lot of bad behavior by landlords for sure, but this issue makes sense to me. Stay cool. All right, fine. I get it, Wes. I get it that the building doesn't allow it. But again, isn't it incumbent on the landlord, the building owner, to rewire that building? Especially as we have climate change and we get more temperatures like this, I mean, we're looking at well over 100 degrees with the heat index. And some of these buildings have brick exteriors. So you're basically creating an oven. Should we be expecting human beings to live inside an oven without air conditioning. And if you're going to do that, then I think it's incumbent that there has to be a great big letters on the lease. This unit does not have the availability of air conditioning. Mr. Zomers, what's he?
I don't know. I think it's perfectly reasonable to charge whatever you want and have people live in squalor and try and trick them into dangerous conditions that could actually kill them. But you get more money.
As he says it with tongue in cheek, I'm sure.
Yes, that was sarcasm.
Stay tuned. More of your texts. Hope your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Back after this on the Todd Outlaw Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, live on location here in the RC in Richland Center. Prompting some phone calls here, 844-967-2789. Should landlords in Wisconsin have the ability legally, as they do now, to deny air conditioning units in their tenants' apartments? Especially weather like this. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Randolph, Wisconsin, and Dan in Randolph. Dan, what say you?
Yes. Well, if the landlord, how many of them have AP in their buildings where they sleep? And I suggest that they, this is not 1900, 1910, or 1920. This is 2034, 2033. And they ought to ask the people that the Republicans that voted for this, ask every one of them if they find out if they have AC in their buildings. This is like I just heard someone say. Yes, but will they be responsible? Will the landlords be responsible if someone died from heat exhaustion?
Mm-hmm. No, I. So you are a landlord, Dan, correct? And you say that you have an obligation, or not?
No, I'm 89 years old. I'm in a nursing home, and we have air conditioning here too.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate the call, Dan. Thanks so much for listening, by the way. And you're right. I mean, whether you're in a nursing home, whether you're a renter, I mean, I think the air conditioning is just a basic need, a basic right to survive, particularly as temperatures go up like this. Let's go up. Speaking of going up, let's go to Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire, always great to have you, my friend. What say you?
Well, first of all, outstanding topic. I didn't know this went on in Wisconsin. You know, Walker is a weapon of destruction when he was running our state, because he did a lot of different things, even, you know, with, you know, the fire, people that work with police and fire, you know, the firemen. There were some things he changed in building codes and all kinds of crap Walker pulled. It was hard to keep up. I had notebooks full of what Walker pulled, and I haven't pulled them out in quite a few years. But this thing here with air conditioning is a health, a life and death issue. This is ludicrous. And, you know, he gets a lot of money from people that have big buildings and run out to people. And I think it should be a law. And remember, they couldn't, people that worked in our offices in the state couldn't talk about climate change when people wanted to start preparing for what was maybe to come. And Walker stopped even discussions of it, and with threats and things. So these people are suffering in our state, and I hope that something's done about it. Something needs to be done to help the people. And, gal, you guys got any ideas? It would be wonderful, but Walker really hurt a lot of people, and this is absurd. Thank you so much for covering it. This is outstanding. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Gene. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it. And thanks to Jason Joyce from the Isthmus of Madison for sending this out and kind of retweeting it off this Reddit post from yesterday on Reddit in Madison, saying that there are apartments in Madison where landlords will not allow their tenants to put in a window air condition, even in conditions like this. And Wisconsin law allows them to do it. Let's go to Mark in the Sack. Mark in the Sack, thanks for holding. What say you, sir?
Well, it's just in the continuing legacy of Scott Walker and the ideology that he brought along with him from Milwaukee County, where he ignored infrastructure in Milwaukee County, which led to the death of at least young man back in 2010. That, I mean, these landlords should have to upgrade their buildings, because how safe are these buildings that they can't handle, you know, window unit air conditioners to be turned on? I mean, it is just, are those buildings safe in the first place? Of course, you know, Walker and company et al. And the current crop of a lot of the Republicans say they don't care if those buildings are safe or not, even without the air conditioner units going on. So how safe is the wiring in these buildings, you know, anyway? I mean, the landlord should be responsible for rewiring those buildings. I mean, that it should be you know, a building, whole building safety requirement. I mean, it is just another ridiculous situation that we see with Wisconsin Republicans who are continuing to promote, you know, that and earlier conversation, it was about working hours. I mean, the Republicans are continuing to point, you know, they want 14 and 15-year-olds being able to work without work permits and more hours a day, and those kids' jobs should be just going to school. I mean,
yeah, and the interesting thing about that, Mark, I'm out here in WRCO Richland Center. My colleague Phil Neal on his morning show this morning asked State Senator Howard Markland about that whole issue, having 14 and 15-year-olds work. You know what his response was? Oh, I don't know anything about that. No comment. Didn't even want to talk about it out here in his own district. Ridiculous.
If you squeeze Howard Markland's head, you'd be lucky if you'd got manure out of it. But
I got to run, Mark, but that was great. Fantastic. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Rob up in Wisconsin Rapids, we appreciate you listening to us up there in Rapids. Rob, about a minute and a half left. Go ahead.
I'll be quick. Good afternoon. Good show. Previous gentleman was pretty much spot on. This is a really convoluted issue. You've got a lot of older buildings, even some of the newer construction, quite frankly, is marginal. And if you start to impose a law where they have to require or have to install the circuitry to allow for air conditioning, it's going to probably take a lot of buildings off the market. I believe everybody should have the ability to get air conditioning. Don't mistake that. But I think the way a lot of these buildings are built, it's going to be cost prohibitive, and we're already in a housing shortage. What would be better to do a mandate, you got to do one thing or the other. What should happen is right up front, bold print, not in two-point font. This building is not wired nor capable of being wired for air conditioning, so renter beware. And if you know this coming up front, if this doesn't work for you, you look at a different property. But to mandate everybody having to have air conditioning or the ability to have it, it's going to have an unintended consequence that I'm afraid is not going to be a real winner either. You gentlemen have a wonderful weekend or a wonderful weekend.
You as well.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you, Robert. Wisconsin Rapids. Let's get in quickly. CJ in Stoughton. Appreciate you holding. CJ, about 45 seconds. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dad. Well, I'm sure you saw just how much as a kid, if you helped clean up properties, just how much the property was respected sometimes. Not all the time, but I'm sure you saw there was some real, problems with that. Yes, probably the reason the property that I don't believe they should have to. The property is probably old. That's why they're paying less than probably a marketable rent for a newer building. And the tenant should read the lease.
All right. Thank you, CJ. Appreciate your comments. Stay with us. Hour 2 after this, the Powerball Show on Civic Media.